What did the early disciples think about Jesus? How did they see him? It's easy for us to be caught up in our own religious culture, and we think about those guys. They were able to turn and live a pretty radical life, those that chose to follow Jesus, in a fairly short amount of time. And a lot of the reason for that is because how they saw him, what came into their brains when the pieces fell together for them. And that related particularly to their background as Jews in the first century. And I would like to just walk into, okay, what was their headspace? What did they think and see when they said, I am a follower of Jesus Christ? What went through their brain when they said that? And what did they pass on to their disciples? And I think if we walk through those things, it'll set us up well for Christmas, to understand that gift that Jesus gave us. So that's where we're going to go after this. I think it winds real naturally into that. So let's just pray, and let's ask the Lord just to take this time and to use it to disciple us, to speak to us. We're gathered together in His name. Just ask that God would wrap His arms around us and draw us in, and that we'd feel like we heard from Him. So Lord Jesus, that is our desire. We are Your disciples. We're not members of a church. We're not members of a group, first of all. The only reason, as Brandon shared earlier, to come together, to be here, is because there's ways that we need You. We believing that there is a connection with You here, that each one of us, in our own relationship, all by ourselves, we can get closer to You by being here. And really, if we don't have that pursuit, if we don't have that heart, if we don't have that desire, then we will not find anything of value here. It is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich. And You bless those who seek You. And I pray, Jesus, You would help us to grow in our seekers' hearts. That more and more we would find in ourselves just that desire to be closer to You. To come into Your presence, to find our life in You. It is such an adulterous world. And Lord, that adultery splashes all over us. We love so many other things. And yet, God, it is only in a loyalty and a commitment and a faithfulness to You that life is found. And I pray, Jesus, even this morning, we'd be just a little bit farther down that road. Every engagement You have with us is really meant to draw us just a little closer, a little farther from the world, and a little closer to You. And one day that ends when there is no world, and it's all You, and it's all Your kingdom, and it's all life in Your family. And it's all in Your presence. And if we really believe that, it doesn't make any sense to do anything else other than to try to get a little bit closer to where we're ultimately going anyway. And I pray, God, that Your Holy Spirit would grant us power to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, we got our verse, which you've got to look at here a number of times. I think that's what comes first. Can you remember my PowerPoint? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. And this morning it's self-control. We end with self-control. And in our Bibles, there's actually, especially if you use the NIV, there's a number of Greek words that are translated self-control. And I think it's kind of, I know there's more than four or nine qualities of the Spirit. If we were to ask the Apostle Paul, you know, say we were there, he wrote this, he handed it to us, said, hey, would you proofread this to me? If for me, and we read Galatians 5:23, and we read these nine qualities, and we said, is this all there is? Is this the only qualities? I'm sure Paul would go, oh, no. There's humility, and he'd list off, he'd just run off a bunch more. So it's not like these are the only things that would be the fruit of the Spirit. But the Spirit having inspired these, it's interesting to look at the Greek word that goes with each one of them and go, right, you know, exactly what's in that word. And so when we look at this word, it's agratia, or however you'd pronounce it, because I don't know Greek. But it comes, it's a compound word, and the first part of it is means in the sphere of, or in, or from. And then the second word, kind of the real meaning word, kratos, means dominion or mastery. Properly, dominion within, self-control, proceeding out from within oneself, but not by oneself. From within, but not by. So it doesn't come from us. And I think it's really important for us to recognize that the word that Paul uses here when he grabs a word doesn't have the word self in it. He's not talking about something that comes from our self. He's talking about an ability that comes, that is in us, but it isn't from us. Here's another definition. It means possessing power, strong, having mastery or possession of, continent, self-controlled. And so what Paul is saying is that there's a fruit of the Spirit, and that fruit of the Spirit puts us in control of our life. It enables us to make choices that take us where we're supposed to go. 1 Corinthians 9, here's another verse that uses that same word. It says, everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. And Carol and I were talking about yesterday how there are athletes, and she got to work with athletes at Iowa State University for a while, that are just incredibly self-controlled. They are able to take every single facet of their life, and they're able to take it in a direction. And Paul recognizes that right here. There are athletes that compete, and they've got their eyes on a prize, and they know what they want, and every single thing in their life falls into line with that. Okay? And Paul says that quality is also what the Spirit puts in us. Of course, we have a different purpose. That there's a place God wants our life to go. There's a way He wants our life to turn out. There's a person we are supposed to be. And He says there will be a mastery of yourself. There will be a dominion over yourself that will enable you to take your life right down the road toward that thing and that person. That's what the Spirit wants to do in your life. That's this quality of an inner dominion. Okay? Now, we live in a world that in many ways does not foster development of this at all. Here's an interesting verse in Proverbs. It says, like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. I remember being struck by this verse as just a really young believer, early in my Christian life in college. And several things caught me in that verse. And one was, what happens in a city? What would you say we characterize a city, especially think back to those days? There were cities, and there was little towns, and there was little villages, and there was guys who lived in their tents. What was able to happen in a city? What's that? Governance. Okay, organization, structure. What else could happen in a city? Security. Commerce. A city is a place where wealth can be accumulated. I mean, there's merchants, there's you're able to produce things. Things can be brought together. Cities is where wealth is. Why do cities have walls? And what happens if there's no wall? What happens to the wealth if there's no wall? Yeah, how long does wealth last in a city if there's no wall? Do they build those walls for nothing? They build those walls because what happens if there's no walls? Someone comes in and takes all the wealth that city can produce. A city without walls cannot accumulate wealth. Your life and my life is like that. If you don't have self-control, you have tremendous potential in your life. There's tremendous things that can come out of your life. God wants your life to accumulate all kinds of things in all kinds of areas over the course of your life. And if you don't have self-control, all that potential, it will never get there, and you will die never having pulled together what you could be because you didn't have self-control. If you don't have self-control, you will always be poor. No matter how much potential is in your life, you're like a city whose walls are broken down. God wants us. Your greatest enemy, in some ways, is your inability to have dominion over the potential in your life. What you can be, what God has put in there. Here's an interesting verse in the New Testament. It says similar things. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8. And it's a progression of the Christian life. And it says this: for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. And the reason he's talking about how there's riches in the Christian life. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. And to goodness, knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul is saying, hey, listen, this is how you get down the road of the Christian life. You start with faith. You believe that God has really done these things. This is true about the world you live in. And then you turn your heart toward it, and there's a goodness. There's a desire to conform to it, to yield to it, to let it lead your life. And then after that, there's knowledge, and you understand it. And lots of Christians think that's the end of the Christian life, knowledge. Oh, I learn more and more. I learn more and more. But Paul says, no, that's not going to help you a bit, or Peter. Because you know what? You'll have knowledge, and you will go nowhere. You must take that knowledge and you must apply self-control. You've got to make your life go that way. You've got to take your life down that road. You have to add to that knowledge self-control. And then when you make that choice, then you have to persevere in it. And understand, Jesus really wants our lives to change. He really wants us to be different. He wants to be able to, through His Holy Spirit, to make profound differences in the people that we are. But we live in a world where many, many believers do not experience that. And a lot of it is because they are not able to bring self-control to their knowledge. There are so many ways where we live in a world. What's the point of our world? Our world is to make us think that life is in the flesh. To make us think that life is found in doing what I want. What does our world do with its addictions? Does it define them as things to be overcome, or does it legalize them? We authorize our addictions. We say, oh, rather than labeling it as something that's bad, let's label it as something that's good, because that's where I naturally go. You live in a world that has spent hundreds of billions of dollars trying to destroy your self-control. Make you choose things based in the flesh. Oh, I want it, I should get it. I want it, it will make me happy, I should do it. To destroy the walls of your house. And we need to recognize there is a need for self-control in our life. I need to bring something into my life. I need to bring in control, and God wants to do that. And in one sense, it is self-control, but in other words, that's a terrible word. It is a mastery of my life that comes because I'm able to take my life where God wants it to go. And I'm able to say no. And I'm able to have desires. I'm able to have things I wish I could do. And I'm able to go, I will not do that because my goal is set on something else. How successful would you say you are at taking your life where God wants it to go? Oh, I know I should do this more. I should read my Bible more. Okay. I should pray more. I should serve people more. I should be engaged in this more. I should have my own life put together more. Man, I should be doing a better job of managing my own life. Okay. Where are you going with that? There's a struggle here. There's a battle here. We could say there's the devil and there's God. And the devil wants you to lose that battle so that when you reach the end of your life, if you're married, it's destroyed. Your finances are in shambles. Your character is a mess. Your life is utterly miserable. And he can look at you and go, there was so much potential in your life and you trashed it all. But God wants to say, look who you can be. But you must have self-control. You must be able to say no to the flesh. And you must have your eyes on a prize. And you must say, I will go this way. I will let Jesus shape my life like an athlete. And we need to recognize how hard this is. I think two common things. We can think of addictions. I know a lot of Christians with addictions. Wow. You get in a place and you just like, it's just you can't get out. But we need to recognize that the flesh can get trained in all kinds of ways, and really addictions are just this whole spectrum of things. And I think of two really common things that I can feel like I'm affected with in my own life. Just really basic stuff people talk about all the time. I know I need to exercise more, and I know I need to lose weight. Okay, so since I came here, I've gained a whole belt notch. I get nervous around here. I eat too much, and ever since I've got here, I thought I need to control what I eat. I need to change. I need to exercise more. I need to be out. And I think it, and I think it, and I think it, and I think it. And what is the most common thing in America? We don't ever do it, right? I want to tell you something about yourself. Whatever it is, but I'll just use this one for me. Eating. There is nothing simpler than losing weight. There is no human activity simpler than losing weight. There is nothing you can do that would be easier than losing weight. Nothing. Oh, but when I lose weight, then I have to clean up all this stuff. No, you don't have to clean up anything. You don't have to eat. Oh, but then I have to prepare stuff. I have to cook stuff. No, you don't. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. Oh, I have to give up my time. No, you don't. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything. It saves you time. It saves you money. It saves you energy. All you have to do is not eat. There is nothing to losing weight. It should be the simplest human activity on earth. You just do nothing. You don't have to try. You don't have to practice. You just don't eat. What could be easier? And yet every time I feel a little bit hungry and I'm a little bit nervous, I got to go get something sweet. What is wrong with me? There's something going on in my flesh. There's something driving me. It's a way to manage stuff in my life because I have got this law of sin that we talked about last week. There's a law of sin, and it drives my ability, my desire to want to sleep in. It drives my ability to want to eat more than I should and feel that nice, full, stuffed feeling. It drives lots of things in my life, but I'm thankful there's things it doesn't drive. It doesn't drive my desire to drink alcohol. I am so thankful for that because I did not develop that when I was young. It does not drive my desire to take illegal drugs. I'm so thankful for that because I didn't get started down that road. In your life, there will be areas of the flesh that you have to be very careful about letting those areas get strengthened in your life. The flesh, by its nature, is addictive. And I think about our culture, people in their 20s, people in their 30s, developing all these habits of how they spend their money and how much alcohol they drink and all this stuff. And I'm going, oh my goodness, do you know where you're going to be when you're 50 years old? Do you know what's happening in your life? The flesh is like this conveyor belt that just keeps ratcheting you in farther and farther and farther. You have got to stand and say, Jesus, grant me self-control to take my life a different direction. And our world has no clue about that. So I want to throw out to you, one, there is a law of sin in your life that by yourself you cannot overcome. I can't overcome it. You can't overcome it. We talked about that last week. Self-control. There's a degree of natural self-control, and the flesh can be trained. And our parents gave us a certain degree of self-control, and some people get a bunch of it. Some people don't get much. But I'm telling you what, whatever you've tried to change over the last few years of your life, if you haven't been able to change it, you will never be able to change it in your own strength. You can't change it in your own strength. It'll never happen. If you haven't been successful yet, it's not going to happen. Only in the fruit of the Spirit, God at work in your life, will you be able to overcome the sins of the flesh and the lack of self-control. I can't change myself any more than I already have. So how do we do this? The fruit of the Spirit comes to us in an area of our life as we seek to love God through that area of our life. And you know, we have to ask ourselves, why do I want certain things? Why do I want to exercise more? Why do I want to exercise more so I'll be in better shape, so my wife will think I look good, so I'll feel better about myself, so maybe that's why I can compare myself to other people. And does Jesus look at that and go, yeah, that's great, I'd like to help you with that? Or does he go, okay, have at it. I'm not going to help you. But if there's an area in my life where I say, Jesus, I love you. You would be more honored if my life was more this way. Because I love you, I want my life to be conformed to what you are. And in that love, I'm going to pursue you. Jesus, help this be true in me because you would be more honored if it was so. Then Jesus says, in that, as you seek me, as you pursue me, I can feel that and I can strengthen that. I can give you life in that. I can meet you there and I can change your life. Why is an athlete so self-controlled if they're really successful athletes? I think it's just because they have trained their flesh. And I can change my life in some ways. Actually, if I put lots of pictures on my refrigerator of these really big muscular guys, and I could manipulate my flesh. Not change my flesh. I could manipulate my flesh and go, I'm going to change flesh what you want. Oh, okay, now my flesh wants this. Okay, then I can pursue that. But to say no to my flesh, to say I will be a different person, I cannot do that. Only the power of the Spirit can do that. And that comes as I go, Jesus, I am tired of living for myself. I am tired of being the center of my universe. I want you to have a place you're supposed to have. I want to love you. And you would be more honored if this was true in my life. God, help me do this. That is the Christian battle. There have been areas in my life where I've had habits that I have known have not been honoring to God, and I've wanted them to change, I've wanted them to change. And I've struggled, and I've fought, and I've pursued, and I've failed, and I've failed, and I've failed, and I've failed, and God has so humbled me, but it has been a struggle related to honoring God. And there have been points where the power of God, it's just the power of God, Sometimes he just totally humbles you and you realize, I remember a time saying to God, God, I will never change this. You know why, God? Because I love this more than I love you. And that's the honest truth. And God bringing me to that place where I saw that true in my life brought a power in my life. And that area in my life was over. It was done. There is a power from God. There are certain habits I had when I got saved that went away completely. They just went away. It was just like God just gave me a gift. Boom, it just went away. There's a power of the Spirit. There were things that didn't go away, and I struggled, and there's things that still haven't gone away. I know a person struggled with alcohol, destroyed his business, destroyed his marriage, destroyed every single dimension of his life. He just went out and just cried out before God after a number of months, and God one morning just changed him. There is a power of God's Spirit that can just change us if we seek Him. But we go, no, God, I don't want this to be hard. I want you to just change me. Would you just change me? You know, I'm just tired of being this way. It's sort of hard for me. God goes, I want you to seek me. I want you to seek me. I want you to pursue. I want you to drive toward knowing me. I want you to struggle. I want you to feel the pain of not wanting to be where you're at because you want to be closer to me. I want you to know that. And when you know that, I will meet you there. You just want my life to make it easier for you. You just want me to take away your problems. I don't want to take away your problems. I want to give you myself. You're not on earth to have no problems. You're on earth to know me, says Jesus Christ. And that is how we... Do you want more joy in your life? Yearn to love God more. Do you want more peace in your life? Do you want more patience in your life? Then pursue God more. Kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Oh, I wish I had more of those. Do you really? Why do you want more? Do you want more because it'll make you closer to God, because it'll draw you into His presence, because it'll make you more of a glory to Him? Then seek those things. God, I want to glorify you more. God says, as you pursue that, then you open the door, then my Spirit can come into you. And you know what happens when my Spirit gets in you? When my Spirit gets in you, you get filled with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Who could put together self-control and joy? I can't. I can be self-controlled. You don't want to be around me when I am, when I'm self-controlled in my flesh. I can be pretty black and white and pretty hard, and things are pretty controlled. Or I can be filled with joy, and then life's a mess. It's kind of fun, but it's a mess. Joy and self-control. Joy and self-control. Who could do that but God? Who could do that but God? You have a God that'll fill you up and you'll be filled with joy and you'll be filled with self-control. Wow. That's our God. That's what He wants to make us like. That's what He wants to fill the world with people like that. And that's whether you know it or not, that's what you want to be. That's what you want to be. Life's in that. So in this series on the Holy Spirit, we started saying those nine things are just the incidentals. Remember when we said that? And we're going to end with kind of the same thought. What is God saying? Is He saying, listen, this is not nine things. This is me. Let me in. Pursue me. Seek me. Don't be adulterous. Love me instead of the world. Turn your... I'm turning toward the world. I'm constantly turning toward the world. But God says, I want you to grab yourself by the collar and keep ripping yourself back. Do you want to love God more? Do you want to love God more? Do you want to love God more? What do you want? I want to know Jesus Christ. I want to know Jesus Christ. And if you want to know Him, then we have fellowship. That's a secret thing that we're all totally failing at this, but it's really what we want. That's our fellowship. And we sense that in one another. I sense you want to know him. You want to pursue him. When I see it, everything brightens up. Oh, yeah, okay. Good, because I do too. It's sort of a secret, but I really do. I want to know him. And then his spirit fills us. And that's what I want to talk about in the next few weeks, is what did those guys see? Why did they pursue it? What were they after? And then to see how that can change our life. So, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much for the fruit of your Spirit, the fruit of your Spirit in us, that it's power. You said you didn't give us the spirit of timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline, self-control. Lord, fill us up with that Spirit. I think of the potential in this room, all that we can be. You look down and you say, do you know what you can be? Every one of us different, every one of us unique, every one of us totally amazing. And we struggle, we have all these adversaries, all the things inside us, all the things outside. And God says, I can lead you to a different life. If you will begin with faith and bring goodness and then knowledge, and then let me bring you self-control. God, help me to love you more. I know I've come to the end of my own self-control. I don't have any more self-control. I'm gone as far as I can go. But Jesus, you can change my life. And that's what I want. And I pray each one of us in this room would experience it bit by bit by bit. We'd experience it more. Help us, Lord.